to those people, brothers, who are administering and running this masjid, and to respected Maulana Sahib, I am very grateful that a person, a humble servant like me, you have given me the opportunity that I am able to sit amongst you pious people and get your good company and to do my own islah and rectification. Here, it is a regular for me to come to Bradford and to visit the masjid and for us to have a discussion. So today, with the nisbat connection of this majlis, what has come into my heart, I would like to share in your service. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give such a weak person like me the ability to practice. May Allah ta'ala elevate your rank and your status. Now, the insan, the human being, he basically reacts to his khwahish, to his desires. And in this gathering, the amount of people that are here, many have desires. Just like, for example, you have a balloon. For example, if you fill the balloon with air, you keep on filling the balloon with air, it keeps on expanding and it grows big. And this is the hal of ourselves, that in the nature of man, Allah Ta'ala has instilled desire. And if one desire is fulfilled or not fulfilled, the next one also comes in place. When the second one is fulfilled, then another third desire comes and takes its place. Every desire, before it ends, the next desire begins or is created. And there are some that are jais, some are najais. Some are permissible, some are not permissible. Some desires are permissible and some are not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem, merciful. Allah is the qadir, the mutlaq. And He is all-powerful, and there's nothing that Allah Ta'ala cannot do. If a man, human being, has desires, and if Allah Ta'ala has given us these desires, which He has, and these desires are within us, always with us, then, my brothers, Allah Ta'ala, His power doesn't lack anything. Allah gives. If somebody desires something or wants something, Allah gives. There's nothing lacking. If Allah says kun, then fayakun. It will occur. It will occur. Allah is the malik of the universe. Allah is the qadir. And who can ask Allah if Allah Ta'ala has given? Who can ask? So desires, to have desires, there's nothing wrong with that. Allah Ta'ala has given desires. But, if Allah Ta'ala wills, He can give straight away, immediately. But there's a reason here, that this world is the place that hinges on and is based on the means to the end. This is the biggest test for us. In this world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I give definitely, for sure I give, but there's a precondition. You need to adopt the means to get to the end. You cannot just get to the end through a shortcut always. If a person uses the method, uses the means that Allah ta'ala has given, the resources, then Allah ta'ala gives to that person. But us, that's what we're lacking. We go far, we run far from the means, from the method. We don't use the technique that Allah has told us to use, but we have desires. I want this to happen, I want B to happen, I want C to happen. So this is a general thing here that we see in the dunya, that if I'm lying down on my bed, I want a shop, I want my business to run, I'll do this, then I want this many employees, and I'll have this much sale and revenue. And after a while, I'm on my bed having a dream. Where's my shop? Where's my business? Where's my turnover? Nowhere. These are just thoughts and desires and dreams. There's no practicality associated with it. If you want to run a shop or a business, you need to move your hands and legs and body. You need to buy the stock, place it into the business. Because this dunya is based on asbab, the means to the end. That's the same way Allah has given us desires. And one desire is present within every person. Doesn't matter how weak he is in Islam, practicing Islam, doesn't matter how weak he is, and doesn't matter how weak he is in the world, even if he has nothing to his name, he doesn't have a taka to his name. But for that person, every woman, man, insan, human being, all have this desire, old, young, everyone, that Allah, please make my dunya better. Every man has this desire, and dunya is a big thing to ask for. Every man has a different dunya, a different thinking, a different requirement. What's our dunya? Home, outside, wife, children, traveling, relatives, mu'amalat, business, occupation, money, turnover, all of this is dunya, definition. And nobody is empty of this desire. Nobody is devoid of desire. So whenever anyone says, Allah make my dunya better, Allah make my dunya better, then in his eyes he thinks, Allah, I want my house to be nice, I want my children to be prosperous, I want my wife to be good, and I want my business to flourish, I want everything to be good. When I go out, I want to be nice, I want respect, I want ease, I want comfort. This is called dunya. To get the dunya. And every man has this desire. And the second desire, that Allah, please make my akhirah better. Make my akhirah better, Allah. Even if I have no amal, nothing, doesn't matter how weak I am, but Allah, have the desire, Allah, save me from Jahannam. Allah, make my death easy. Allah, in the hereafter, give me success. And Allah, give me Jannah. Everyone has this desire. If you ask anyone that you don't pray salah, but you have the desire for good in the hereafter, Allah, give my dunya, make my dunya and the hereafter good. Excellent. So now, when we have this desire, and we have big desires, then will Allah Ta'ala not fulfill these desires? Allah will fulfill the desire. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِي حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارُ. Allah said this clearly. That what is dunya? That when I go home, I want to be happy, my wife happy, my children happy, and the coolness of my eyes. I want the environment the way I want, just what I will. That's what I want. The food I like, I want the food in that way. No argument at home, no differentiation, no problem, no dispute, no divorce. The children should be the coolness of my eyes. Everyone wants this. When I go out, I want my shop to run, my business to prosper. If I'm a taxi driver, I want a good turnover. If I'm running a business, if I'm an employee, I want a good job. If I want money in my pocket, I don't want to be in debt, I don't want to be under the burden of anybody's cash. So this is possible. Everything's possible, Allah Ta'ala says. Everything's possible. So if we get all of these things now, so for this we need the means. We need a bit of methodology. And Allah has given the sabr, the means for everything. So now we understand that we have a big desire. What's the desire? That we want the dunya to be like this, the way I've just said to you. We want everything to fall into place. We want all of the pieces in place. And the akhirah, we want from maut until Jannah. We want Allah Ta'ala to give us ease, and we don't want no part of that journey to be problematic. Don't we all want this? Say it loudly, inshallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Me here, I've not come here to give a speech. I haven't come here to lecture you. I've just come here to discuss a point. If you hear what I'm saying, then you'll answer as well. That if I'm wrong, you'll tell me you're wrong, Hazrat. Please, and if I'm right, then you have to accept what I'm saying. This is a discussion. Yes, you will correct me and inshallah I will correct you. We will align ourselves, and the objective is that we improve our akhram. Now if this gathering we all stay static and don't attain anything from this, then what will we get in the hereafter? Hey, I've come from far, I've come to Bradford, and however I was feeling, I came in the cold, I've seated you, sat you down, I've gathered you around, and we're all here, and I've taken your time, and I've taken time to come here. What's the reason for this? You see me and I see you? Is this the objective? The words that I'm saying, Alhamdulillah, you are thousands of times better than me. Your Imam Sahib must say these things on Jummah, and he must tell you these things regularly, and Jamaats must come here, mashallah, and you must say everything. But hey, I've not come here to tell you. I've not come here to tell you. I haven't come to deliver a lecture. I've come here to do my own islah, to rectify myself, and to just tell you some points that I have learnt in the company of the pious. So remember what I'm saying. Sit freely, relax. Don't think some great individual has come. No, you are going to learn something from me, and I'm going to learn something from you. And if we leave this gathering without learning, then tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, this gathering will be have been a waste of time for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So shall I continue? Okay, so now you understand what I'm saying. So, all of what I've said in the beginning was based on one point. The introduction that I've given to you, the objective of this was one. That we need to make our lives beautiful. We want peace in our lives because we are living in this world, aren't we? For an amount of time. And if we want to improve our akhirah, our hereafter, because that's where we're going to go forever. Do we all want this? Yes, you want this? Certainly? Okay, fine. So how do we do this then? How? Ask you a question. Tell me. How do we attain this objective? We want this good world, good hereafter. So how do I attain this? How do I acquire this? Tell me. Because this is the solution, the problem that we need to solve today. That's what I've come for, so we can discuss. I've come here so we can solve this problem, that we all have these desires of good world, good dunya and good akhirah, so we need to attain this. Most definitely you will ask a question. As I said, that the world hinges on utilizing the means to get to the end. Allah Ta'ala has given the means to attain every end. Hasn't Allah? Hasn't Allah? So most definitely there will be a means to get to this objective that we just discussed. Yes, to fulfill this desire to attain these rewards, that the world, our life becomes great and beautiful and peaceful in this world, and our akhirah hereafter becomes good. There must be an amal that will give this. Isn't it, my brothers? There must be an amal. If Allah Ta'ala wants to give, then Allah Ta'ala says that this world and everything you get hinges on utilizing the method. So Allah says, if you do this amal, then you will get this objective and desire that you have, that you've just discussed. Whoever does this amal, this deed, will get the peace and goodness in this world and thereafter. Allah Ta'ala said, I've sent the Qur'an, and I've sent you a Nabi, and he came to tell you these points with the fadl of Allah. He will tell you that amal, and the Qur'an will tell you these things. So today we have to see from the Qur'an that this path of ours, that our dunya should be improved and our akhirah should be improved. What do we do for this? What is the Qur'an given as the guidance to get this objective? What is the amal we have to do to get goodness and nice things in this world and thereafter? Allah Ta'ala gives an answer. There's an amal. There's a deed. Whoever practices this deed, implements this deed with Allah Ta'ala's grace, his dunya and hereafter will be made. So let's go towards this amal. Let's start practicing this. And Allah Ta'ala's promise is there. When Allah Ta'ala promises in the Quran, Allah has utilized the word, Allah has used the word falah. Falah. And those who attain falah, they are called the muflihun, tuflihun. You understand the Quran, you read it, you understand it. So falah, this word, success. The definition of falah is success, that this man has become successful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when your desires are all fulfilled, then those people are called muflihun. And there's one word, falah. Allah says those who attain falah, those who attain success. So falah is such a deep and weighty word. The Mufassirin, the commentators have stated that falah is such a weighty and deep word. In comparison to this word, you cannot do tashri commentary on this word. You can never understand it. It's got a lot of weight. A lot of weight. Hazrat Taqi Madhazul Ali, such a great individual, we've seen with regards to the Quran and Hadith, and he has stated that this word in reality, this is, we say that it's limited that somebody's become successful, but the meaning of this is very expansive. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned falah in the word in the Quran, it's very expansive, the meaning. The definition, wherever Allah Ta'ala says falah in the Quran, that these people or this person has attained falah. So the meaning of this falah is what? That the dunya and the hereafter, that person's dunya, the world, his life and his hereafter falls nicely into place. And he becomes from those who are the muflihun. He becomes successful in this world and in the hereafter. And that's how Allah Ta'ala has used the word falah to give us the definition of success. So before falah, Allah Ta'ala has told us the amal, the deed, that if you want to attain falah, success in this world and thereafter, that if you do this amal, Allah says, then you will become the muflihun, the successful person. So the problem is solved. Alhamdulillah. Our world and the hereafter is now made. Allah has given a guarantee that if you start practicing this deed, then your world will become easy and your hereafter will become nice. What is that amal? Now we have to see what amal, which deed is it that we need to do to make our world in this life good and the bad. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oha. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah Ta'ala stated that if you want to attain success in this world and the hereafter, if you want falah of this world, I've told you before, that everything in the dunya will become easy for us, good for us, nice for us. It will become nice for us. And the hereafter, all of our phases and journey in the hereafter will become easy. And that's what Allah said in the Quran, you have to do one deed to get this. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Do the dhikr of Allah. And this is the objective of dhikr when we do dhikr. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says in the Quran, that, O my servant, O man, remember me, Allah says. Remember me. Remember me. My remembrance, my dhikr, وَلَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. It is such a great action that your dunya will fall into place and your hereafter will be reward and bounty. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. All solutions for problems emanate from dhikr of Allah. There's a great hadith, as Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates it, as a Shaykh al-Hadith has included this in his kitab for Zal Amal that you must read. And in this hadith it is stated, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ as Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu narrates hadith, that, O my companions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O my Sahaba, that shall I tell you, amalakum, khayri amalikum, shall I not tell you of a deed which from all of your amal deeds is afdal, is greatest, is best, is highest, baland. Then again he stated, that shall I not tell you a deed which is very pure in the eyes of your Lord, subhanallah. What a guarantee stamped on this deed. That close to you are in the eyes of your Lord, it's pure. It's the best of deeds, first point. Secondly, in the eyes of your Lord, close to your Lord, this deed is most pure, subhanallah. Praise be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. Then third point, that your darajat, your status will be increased manifold. Manifold, many times over. Aha. And your darajat status level in the hereafter will be elevated to the high spot. And in such a way that gold and silver, if you were to spend, then this deed is more beneficial in terms of sadaqah than you spending gold and silver in the path of Allah. And Rasulullah stated that even if the people are against you, they hit you and you are hitting them, then this deed is even greater than that. And the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum said, Qala bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please tell us, such a great deed, with such a great result, with great results, such a high status, lofty deed that will give such great rewards, and we don't appreciate this deed. Please tell us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dhikr Allah, the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So this is not some normal person saying this, my brothers. First the Quran said, Allah said, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلُونَ. This is the promise of Allah, that you do my dhikr, and your house will be barakah, and your children there will be barakah, alhamdulillah. And those affairs of yours that are spoiled, they'll be sorted out, and your house, they'll become peace, and Allah Ta'ala has put current energy into his dhikr. That's it. Allah says, start dhikr, do my dhikr, remember me. In your house, if you've got issues, they will come back towards good. Barakat will come to your house due to the barakah of dhikr of Allah. And the rahmah will start to descend from the skies, from the heavens. Such rahmah descends. In hadith is stated, in that house in which dhikr of Allah is performed, subhanallah, then the inhabitants of the heavens see the inhabitants of the earth who are doing dhikr as if they're like stars in the moon. So remember, we have the desires, my brothers, but we don't do the dhikr of Allah. There's no easier deed than this, I say. There's no deed easier than the dhikr of Allah. You tell me. You come to pray salah. Don't we try? We try. We make effort. We leave home through the cold. We do wudu. And take any ibadah. Worship. Take any ibadah. You will not find any ibadah in which you are not required to do ibadah. Every ibadah requires movement and energy. But the rewards in doing dhikr of Allah, they are on a very high level. High level. All deeds are afzal, Allahu Akbar. All deeds are good, Allahu Akbar. Tuflehun includes everything. Our ibadat, worship, our home, outside, mu'ashara, mu'amalat. All of these things are included. Allah Ta'ala says, the barakat will come in this, alhamdulillah. Respect will increase, izzat will increase, and recognition will increase. And not just this, that for mal, you need quantity, isn't it? For example, you don't have to count. Even if you have a little bit of mal, then the arguments and fights and problems and depression in our homes and medicines, alhamdulillah, but if a person does dhikr of Allah, even if you have a little bit, but there'll be so much barakah in that you won't need to be unhappy anymore. This is the guarantee of dhikr of Allah. This is the effect. It's written in your destiny that your rizq, your wealth, how much is it? Your mal is this much. You will earn this much. So what's the difference here? That person who does the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, he will be satisfied on what he gets. And that person who doesn't do dhikr of Allah, he runs towards haram. He tries to attain. He says, my rizq is little bit. If I do this much more, then I'll get this car. If I do this much more, then I'll get this and this. Then by force, he starts to take interest, going left and right and borrowing. He starts to do wrong actions so that it increases. But the person who does the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes his heart at peace, content. That whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to him as rizq, he becomes established on that. And his hands don't extend towards haram, unlawful things, or greed. And it doesn't go towards wrong. So these points I'm making, my brothers. Now, for example, we do dhikr. And after doing dhikr, if our condition is the same, problems, distress, children, issues, remember one point, that there are two types of condition that surround a person. Two types of situations that surround a person in life. One are those situations that come on a person, tightness, illness, problems, difficulties, issues, and maybe there's sort of the feeling of always problems upon me. And the second person also experiences the same, but the difference between the two is this, that the person who's good, who's pious, who prays, who's a friend of Allah, who follows the deen of Allah, who follows the hukum of Allah, fulfills, implements the ahkams of Allah, who's a muttaqi, when these conditions around him, which originally is destiny, then what will that be? For that person, it will be tests from Allah, challenges from Allah to elevate his status and rank. And he'll persevere. He'll know that Allah Ta'ala will give me this ajr in the hereafter. For that pious person, he's not a bad person. And for example, he won't be afraid of the difficulties, just like the Sahaba Ikram. They had issues in their life, hunger, thirst, tests, challenges, problems, because Allah Ta'ala knew that Allah Ta'ala wanted to extend and improve their darajat. They had less status, but their darajat was to increase. But if a person is a fasiq, and he's sinful, has bad condition, bad situation, bad scenario in the home, in the family, outside, and he breaks Sharia, Allah Ta'ala's laws, when these conditions befall that person, person B, then this is not a test for that person, rather it's azab for that person. And you can see from a person's amal that this hardness situation that's come from Allah, is this azab or ni'mah? So you make a person, if he's pious, it's because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to eliminate his sins and give him darajat. And sometimes it occurs that Allah Ta'ala has set aside for that person high, high status in the akhirah, in paradise. But he can't do much amal here. He's got a short life. Allah Ta'ala wants to give him the high darajat. So Allah Ta'ala puts that person into a problem. That pious person, and Allah Ta'ala gives him such an illness, and Allah gives difficulty in the family or in the house, or makes children disobedient, so that when the problems come to him, then Allah Ta'ala increases his status in the heavens. So this is the tariqah, the methodology. But that person who's sinful, who's a fasiq, who is disobedient, who doesn't do amal on Allah's ahkam, then when these problems surround that person, for example, he has an accident, his business has gone stagnant, or house on fire, or children are disobedient, or children have run away. These are punishments from Allah for that person. If someone says, oh, Allah wanted this to be my destiny, this is a big allegation on Allah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give bad to everyone, to take a person to Jahannam. We are those with Iman. This is even for the people who don't believe. Allah Ta'ala says, I desire that these all people, also I want that they are safe from hellfire, and that they go towards Jannah. If Allah Ta'ala didn't want this, and they didn't accept and believe, then why would Allah Ta'ala send Anbiya to the world? Why would awliya Allah come to the world? Because they've come for the whole mass population. Why would they come? Through which a person is called to improve and rectify his heart. For this reason, Allah Ta'ala wants that every man should be deserving of Jannah, paradise. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us this amal, this deed. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that person who does dhikr of Allah, this world has become his, it will become nice, he'll learn sabr and qanaat, and to persevere, and to swallow things, and that's why this amal is for this reason. That's the reason that we do this amal. That's why we have left dhikr. We don't get these effects. Look at the life of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. Their life revolved around dhikr. And when, for example, hukm came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why these are the examples for you. For example, the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now look at the ibadah that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the dhikr that he did in his life? How much dhikr did he perform? One tasbih, two tasbih. What dhikr was it that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? Let's think about it. And look at his life. His whole life was dhikr. As Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha stated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَذْكُرُ لَكَنَا كُلَّ يَعَنِي. In other words, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in every moment, every time, he was doing the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, always, constantly. Constantly. So this is the dua of Rasulullah, that for example, to do dhikr of Allah in abundance. So here Allah Ta'ala has told us and taught us today the sabak about a good life and a good hereafter. That do the dhikr of Allah. It says, remember me if you want good in this world and hereafter. So whatever our situation is, where we are sinful, whatever we are, but start doing the dhikr of Allah. The first step, alhamdulillah, for a human being, this is where a human being starts from. Don't look at my pious. If I'm pious, I'll do it next week. No, there's a solution, a medicine. That Allah Ta'ala says, whatever situation you're in, start doing the dhikr of Allah. Start doing the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. This is Allah's promise. That Allah's promise is that you will get all the things you need. Alongside dhikr, Allah has laid another condition. Wadhkurullah kathira. Kathira. Not just dhikr on its own. Allah said what? Do dhikr in abundance. In abundance. Regularly, high quantity. So what is abundance? Kathira. We say, okay, I'll do 10 tasbih. Okay, I say subhanallah this many times, alhamdulillah this many times. This is not kathir. This is not kathir. This is not the definition of kathir. Look, I'll explain to you. Dhikr. Remembrance of Allah. There are two types of dhikr. Yeah? How many types of dhikr? Two types. Two ways. One is to remember Allah from the tongue. This is called dhikr lisani, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, subhanallah. You read this and you know this. If the tongue stops and dhikr, does it stop? You go to sleep, dhikr stops. If you're doing dhikr from the tongue, if you're busy in your business, work, dhikr stops. You start speaking to someone, dhikr stops. This happens, isn't it? If you are busy in something else, your dhikr has stopped. But this is not good, is it? Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَا قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Clear. The dhikr of Allah, my remembrance should be such that when you stood, you should be doing dhikr. When you sat down, you should be doing dhikr. And when you're sleeping, you should also be doing dhikr of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala has given this demand in the Quran, then most definitely Allah will have given a methodology, isn't it? To implement this demand. Of course. Of course. So when a human being, so what dhikr is not the dhikr of the tongue that Allah Ta'ala mentions. The pious predecessors have said, it's not the dhikr of the tongue that will give you increased reward. It's not the dhikr of the tongue or the mouth, moving the tongue, that will give falah. That dhikr kathir, where is that done from? That's done in the heart of the human being. And that's called qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. With the heart, to remember Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. As a sheikh has written in his kitab, about maraqaba dhikr, silent dhikr of the heart, in the heart to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the hal is such that okay, before and nobody does dhikr in the first place. Imagine the importance. Even now I've just given you some warmth and told you some hadith. If you look at all the hadith that have been recited by the muhaddithin about dhikr of Allah, then there are such great big kitabs with regards to dhikr of Allah. But we don't do the dhikr of Allah. Think for a moment, is this life? What do we say? What does it say in the hadith? That the person who does dhikr is alive, and the person who doesn't do dhikr is like the deceased person. And this is our life. Where is our life today? We need to analyze. That person is passed away. It's like he's passed away if he's not doing the dhikr of Allah. For the sake of Allah, understand the Quran and the hadith. This deen is not the deen of our preference, my friends. Let's think for a while. I should think and you should think. The Allah Ta'ala is saying that do this much dhikr, that even whilst you're sleeping, do my dhikr. Yes? So Allah Ta'ala says, why have I given you the heart? Because I want you to work from your heart with passion to implement the deen. So today, in this majlis, we need to make a decision, my friends, that you need to decide that I am going to do dhikr. You'll do dhikr, won't you? Yes, we must do dhikr, all of us. Otherwise, we'll leave this world as losers without anything. And when we pass away, then that man will regret, oh Allah, that what did I do here? I wasted time, Allah, that your Quran was full of your dhikr and adhkar. Nor did I do dhikr, nor did my wife do dhikr, nor did my children do dhikr, nor did I tell them to dhikr, nor did I tell my neighbors or others that what is the dhikr of Allah, how good it is. I never paid attention to this activity. And I just wasted my time and let time pass. Never did I look at the Mubarak lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a lot of commentary on these hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in no second in his life, no met time, no time frame. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, compared to us, there are many things we don't do. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do so much. He was so busy because he came as an example for the world. And he came to deliver everything to us, subhanallah. So Rasulullah used to do the jara, business, go home, children. Every task that's present in the world today that we have to automatically do in our lives. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated to us how to practice those deeds. So this was his hal sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no time, no moment, nothing, whatever job, whatever function was carried out, whatever, for example, is in this dunya, all those tasks were carried out by Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no task that he did not carry out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his situation was such, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that any moment, take any moment, yani in every time, in every moment, every action that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, just similar to what the people of the world are doing today. All tasks that people in the world do today, there's nothing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself didn't do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did all actions, and every action that he did in parallel, there was something that he did in parallel. And what was that? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. To this extent, even going to the toilet, to the lavatory, Rasulullah ﷺ would always remember Allah. And he would still do the qalbi dhikr. The ulama, there's a difference of opinion. Some ulama say you can remember Allah from the tongue, but in Hanafi fiqh, they say don't remember Allah from your tongue. But from the heart, Rasulullah ﷺ did dhikr. The keep your heart alive to the dhikr of Allah as well in that place. But we don't even do dhikr of Allah in the masjid. We come to the masjid, if we do, we don't even know if the dhikr is being done or not. We don't even know if we should be doing dhikr. Someone sat there this way, someone's having a chat here, gossip. One moment, listen what I'm saying. As a Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah, said in his kitab that one moment, one sa'ah. How long is that? One moment. That's it. One moment of qalbi dhikr, which is called maraqaba, when you close your eyes, is greater than 70 years of individual worship. Of worship. 70 years thing. It's better than, afdal, greater than. Yani it's accepted. Accepted why? Because this is the hukum of Allah in this. It's been explained that dhikr is a great thing. The remembrance of Allah is a great thing. Allah Ta'ala loves this action of his dhikr. Like I've said to you, that in those places where Allah Ta'ala is remembered, in the heavens, the inhabitants of the heavens, they look down and see the dhakireen as glowing, shining stars and like the moon. And this, it said that, what's this? It's like the homes where dhikr has been done. Our heart is not alive. Our home, our children, our wife, our family, our everything is not alive because we don't do the dhikr of Allah. All of these things, they are not alive. Tell me, because we don't remember Allah. So my brothers, this is something we need to think about. We need to ponder about. So inshallah, should we do dhikr of Allah or not? Tell me. We should. Yes? So it's not the dhikr of the tasbih I'm speaking about. Look, a person gets ill sometimes. May not be that somebody gets a stroke. At that time, that we have to do dhikr of Allah even then. How long should we be doing dhikr of Allah? Let's listen clearly. One sahabi, has a Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, a great companion who's passed away. I won't do tafsir too long because we don't have enough time. But there's an event, special event upon which this sahabi was given this nasiha. Ulama, the respected scholars know about this. This companion was given a special advice. And after giving all the advices, Rasulullah said that he asked, that, please give me a final piece of advice, which is the summary of advice. And Rasulullah said, oh Mu'adh, I give you a final piece of advice. As a Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu, is that sahabi who stood. And in front of him, Rasulullah said, I love you, oh Mu'adh. Imagine what a great companion he was. What a great companion. In other words, imagine his status. In front of him, Rasulullah said, oh Mu'adh, I love you. I love you. What was his maqam, his status? Tell me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Great status. So tell me, that what was the nasiha that he received? How important that nasiha must have been. How much weight must be in that nasiha that we have left today discarded, my brothers. So I didn't travel for nothing. I didn't come here to instruct you. Today, I have come to inform you about dhikr of the heart and to teach you dhikr of the heart. I've come to give you something. And inshallah, on the day of judgment, we will meet, won't we? We'll meet, won't we? Yes, we will meet. And today, if you listen to what I'm saying, and in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, I'm telling you this, and you start doing this dhikr, qalbi dhikr, alhamdulillah, then you will see your life changing in this world for the better. This is the promise of the Quran. I can teach you this dhikr right now, and I'll teach this and we'll do this dhikr as well. Right now your life will improve for the better within a second. Such a great action, the dhikr of Allah, that a person is amazed. That Allah, this is how your name is so great. Allah says, yes, my name is so great. Allah, Allah, Allah. You think it's a minor? You think it's insignificant? once a person, if he says Allah once more than another person, how much difference will there be in the hereafter? The more than the difference of that between the gap between the heavens and the earth, because he said Allah once more than the other person. So as long as there's somebody in the world saying Allah, Allah says my name is so weighty that Qiyamah cannot come, as long as there's somebody saying Allah's name in the world. Imagine. So can barakah not come in our lives? Can sakina not come into our lives? Can our ibadah not be accepted? Listen to something else. Tuflihun, Allah is mentioning. So falah doesn't just mean that Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the world. Allah is speaking about the hereafter as well. I said this is a very weighty word. That there is success in the world, and we know what that means. But Allah is not just giving the guarantee of the dunya, this world, this life. Allah is guaranteeing the hereafter. This is a temporary thing, this world. Here, okay, fair, if you get bread and clothes, fine. And you have to live here, Allah gives you some comfort. So let's touch this first. Because in the dunya, first and foremost, dunya is first for us, isn't it? Because we're here now existing. But when maut comes, which is closer, and closer than we think, then Allah has given total guarantee for that as well. Remember, that one individual who is a dhakir, who is remembering Allah, who does dhikr from the qalb, then about his maut, Allah Ta'ala gives guarantee. For example, I'll give you the example of the sahabi. This was the final nasiha advice for this companion. Ya Rasulullah, please give me the final nasiha. Rasulullah says, Mu'adha, give you a final nasiha. That as long as you are here, and when you depart from this world, رُطْبٌ لِسَانٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that when you depart from this world, then you should be doing the remembrance of Allah in abundance. Your heart should have done so much dhikr. Then when you're leaving this world, then your tongue should be moist with the name of the dhikr of Allah, with the name of Allah. This is what should be the end point. What a great salah, tahajjud, Qur'an. And do you think Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu didn't know how to recite Qur'an, tahajjud and salah? What a great companion. But this was the message to him about success, that the death of a dhakir is different. The death of a person who does dhikr is different and unique and brilliant. The dhakir, his qabr, his grave is unique. And the dhakir, his hashr, resurrection is unique. And his journey across the bridge of Sirat is unique. And his being saved from the fire of Jahannam is unique. And going into paradise for the dhakir is also unique and brilliant. This is Allah Ta'ala's door. Look at the hadith. There are 8 different doors, Allah says. And from this one door out of the 8, only the dhakirin will pass through this door into paradise. My brothers, what a great thing we are wasting. Opportunity we're wasting. Oh, I know this, I do this, I do that, I count my money, I do this and that. Listen, muflihun, Allah speaking about the akhiram. What does this mean? The greatest point, ibadah, worship, subhanallah. Ibadat, mu'asharat, mu'amalat, akhirah, hereafter, jannah, and society, environment, people, interaction. In every maqam you'll attain success and become successful. I pass away, I'm successful. I'm not unsuccessful. Straight away I'm given a guarantee that when I die, then how will I die? What does it mean? The dhakir, not me, the dhakir. How does the dhakir die? When the angels come, they will come with a cloth, with the scent of fragrance. And they will come in a nice form, beautiful faces, and they will speak nicely, calmly, softly. They'll say, you are the beloved of Allah. You used to remember Allah. We were waiting for you in paradise. Come with us. Pick up the hadith, read them. And that person will go into the grave, the dhakir. Listen to the hadith. And where is this dhikr of Allah becoming beneficial? Muflun. When he's lowered into the grave, then it's stated the deed that saves a person most from the punishment of the grave is the dhikr of Allah. Most. So we can regret my life's past. Even now, if we understand with the fadl of Allah, even if today I understand this, then subhanallah, then I've not wasted anything. Even today, if I grab all this, I say, Ya Allah, this is a great thing indeed. That nobody told me this. Nobody told me this. Look at this here. The hashr, the plane of hashr, resurrection, qabr, grave, hashr will come, and people will stand from the qabr. Then some people will rise, that their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. And it will be stated that these are those people who did the dhikr of Allah, who remembered Allah. They'll come to the plane of resurrection, and the plane of the day of judgment. And they'll have a throne full laden with the jewels on the day of hashr. You know what hashr is, how severe it will be, how difficult it will be. And people will be in a very difficult situation. The sun will be so low, people will be drowning in their sweat. This will be the hal of the day that's going to come very quickly upon us. Those who have gone into the grave, they're waiting for that day, the poor souls. And tomorrow we'll be also waiting in the grave. This is the platform. The grave is a position that we're going through to get to the hereafter. So when the halat will occur on the day of resurrection, people will see from afar that these people, the special people, they sat on nice thrones and their faces are shining like the moon on the 14th night, and the dunya is drowned in its problems. They say, Allah, who are these people? Are they prophets, shuhada, salihin? Who are these people? that ri'ah is very different and unique to the gathering of the human beings. Which men and women are they? And then the announcement will come. These are those people who sat in the masjid and did my dhikr, Allah will say. And this is again, these hadith that we are reciting and remembering, is this all wrong? The hadith that we are discussing, are these wrong? Because are these hadith not in the kitabs? Is this not in our deen? Is this not with regards to the falah of our hereafter? So if we want falah, success, then should this message not come before us? So why don't we do amal on this then if we're saying yes? Why not? Why don't we do amal on this? Meaning, why do we leave dhikr? Give me the answer. Why don't you do dhikr? Why? Why don't you remember Allah? Yusabbihu bukratun wa asila. Allah has given the time frame, morning and evening. Remember me, Allah says. Remember me sitting in individually and remember me. So as I was saying, that the greatest thing is what? That will give us success. The greatest action is dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. And the best tariqah method to do dhikr is not using tasbih, but in the heart. What is the method? In the heart, which is called maraqabah and the dhikr of the heart. Now the next question arises. That Hazrat, that how do we do dhikr in the heart? We've seen what we seek with tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, 1,000, 2,000 tasbih dhikr. We move the tongue, we recite the kalima and durood, and we consider that we are dhikr. Alhamdulillah, this is dhikr. But this is not the definition of kathir dhikr. You will come into doing kathir dhikr that your eyes are closed and your heart is moving and it's remembering Allah. You're working business place and your heart is doing dhikr. You're sat next to your wife and your heart is doing dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. No moment or time period in your life, doesn't matter what work you're doing in the world, that I'm not saying that you should sit at home, take the tasbih, close your eyes and become a Sufi and you're a friend of Allah. This is not the way of our deen. Our life is that which was the sunnah of Rasulullah, that everything that Rasulullah did with his hand, business with the hand, earning money with the hands, running the shop business with his own hands, everything he did himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there should be a moment, not a moment should we be devoid and lazy of the dhikr of Allah. Your hands are occupied in the world, but your heart should be remembering Allah. This is called qalbi dhikr. It should not stop. Should not stop. Do we want this dhikr? Whoever wants this, then raise your hands, please. If you really feeling what I'm saying and you accept what I'm saying, are you muttafiq and agreed on what I'm saying? Okay, fine. So do we learn dhikr? Shall I teach you the dhikr? Okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one action very easy. That the most important actions are the most easiest at the same time. Subhanallah. Imagine this. Whichever action is most important, then at the same time is most easy as well to implement. So that even a child, a young person can attain this and enjoy. There's no condition for this. Okay, this dhikr that I'm telling you, yes, for example, when we pray Salah, thousands of conditions. On Hajj, thousands of conditions for it to be fulfilled and accepted. When we go on Hajj, we can pick it at Amgain or Hajj. But there are 10,000 conditions that have to be fulfilled for acceptance and for dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Listen, what is the condition? Precondition, you can do dhikr without wudu. Even if you don't have wudu, no problem. Even if you're ishab, no problem. Even if you're walking, no problem. Even if your eyes are closed, no problem. Even if you're sleeping, no problem. Even if you're awake, no problem. Even if you're speaking, no problem. No precondition. Subhanallah. No precondition. What an easy ibadah. And had so many benefits. So many benefits. So is a person not at loss? Tell me, there should be some justice, isn't it? Think for a moment. That how much we are at loss. So easy this ibadah is. That no disturbance is coming in life. That you have to do wudu and then do this action. No, it's the same. That Allah Ta'ala, I didn't feel like when I did it. Even then Allah says, I'll give you the same thawab. Subhanallah. I didn't feel like Allah, but I still did it. Allah Ta'ala, I'm doing dhikr, and in the masjid there were 5 or 6 men. I thought, oh, today I'll become a Sufi, I'll sit in front of them, close my eyes and start doing dhikr. And you know, Allah, you're khabir and basir, that there was a little bit of showing off in my dhikr. And is the ibadah which has riya in it accepted? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Or are you sleeping? You're listening, aren't you? Is the ibadah that's done out of riya showing off accepted? No. So here stated, even if you do dhikr with riya pride, it's accepted. Subhanallah, what a contrast. What a contrast. So laziness accepted, pride, kabool, if you feel like it, not accepted, even if your body wants to do it, no. If you say, I don't want to do dhikr, I don't feel like it, Allah says, doesn't matter, do whatever you're going to do, whichever hal you remember me in, Allah says, I'll answer you. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, what a great rule. That whichever condition you remember me in, Allah says, your Rabb will give the answer. So we are so dirty and pure, our tongues are impure. Allah is replying to our dhikr, tell me this, tell me. So now, I will tell you how to do the dhikr of the heart. Very easy method, my friends. Very easy method. But first, you'll have to promise. that so much ni'mah Allah Ta'ala is giving to you, to us. This program today, my schedule, this visit suddenly came up. Somebody told me this is Masjid Noor. A brother came, mashallah, Imam Sahib. He accommodated us, Allah Ta'ala elevated status. The older thawab of this, they will go to him, mashallah. To him. And if he said, no, it's too hard to be done in this masjid, he said with an open heart, come, no problem, my brothers. So this is a program that Allah Ta'ala makes. Allah knows best of which beloved person there must be in this gathering and who's going to be called back to Allah. And shortly he will go, his last breath will come out and he'll go to Allah in the heavens. And Allah says, I'm waiting that today he's a dhakir and Allah will give him all of these rewards before he passes away. Subhanallah. Today if he learns this dhikr and after 2 hours, after 1 hour, he passes away, then in the kitab of Allah he is written as a dhakir, the title of the dhakir. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala looks at niyyah. Intention, Allah looks at intention, my brothers. So listen, let's listen. You want to do dhikr of the heart? You're going to learn it? Okay, so when Allah Ta'ala gives this action, there's a first something we need to do. We have to do one action before we do start to learn the dhikr of Allah. That's beneficial for us as well. A lot of benefits. Is it too late at the moment? The time's no, it's okay, fine. So there's benefit in this as well. So when we do this action dhikr, there's benefit in this as well. A lot of benefits in this action, precondition. So first, a person needs to turn to Allah and say, Allah, I am impure and you are giving me a great name of your remembrance. Allah, you give me such a great name. You've said in the Quran, وَاذْكُرُوا لَكَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that you have opened all the doors of paradise and dunya and the akhirah. And you're giving me that name, dhikr ya qalbi. And no one in my generations has done this dhikr. Nobody knew what is the dhikr of the heart, maraqaban. You're giving me this dhikr. So first and foremost, I want to do one action, Allah. You're giving me this name. Whenever you give me this name, whenever you learn this name, what is the action? The Allah. The situation is that your ni'mah is azeem and you are Rahim and Kareem. I am so impure, Allah. In reality, I have disobeyed you so much. My life has passed in disobedience. And think for a moment, for a few moments, how many sins you've done from your tongue, from your hands, from this and from that. Thousands of sins are attached to ourselves. Are we capable, Allah, that you're giving us your ham? But your fadl is so great, subhanAllah, that if a thief goes to a magistrate, and the question doesn't arise, the magistrate doesn't want to see his face. But Allah, you're not just looking at my face, you're giving me the root of the hereafter. I'm so impure, I know I'm impure, Allah, I'm a sinner. So I'll do one action, my Mawla. The first and foremost, you are Kareem. You give me this task, Allah, I do true tawbah. So do we do tawbah, my friends? What is true tawbah, subhanAllah? What is this point? True tawbah is this, don't think about the future too much. What will happen after? If I do tawbah today, then I'm going to sin again tomorrow. What will happen? So is there another Lord tomorrow? Allah who is forgiven today, He'll forgive again tomorrow. Yes, Allah is our Lord, our God one. So don't think shaitan deceives. So if we think today, Allah, I want to do tawbah, true tawbah, honest. When a human being does tawbah, then Allah Ta'ala then utilizes a word with this in Allah, ghafoorur raheem. What is the word? The phrase Allah Ta'ala is using, the verse in Allah, ghafoorur raheem. Ajeeb point. Allah says, in Allah, I am Allah. Who are you speaking to? You're requesting from me. You're my servant and you come to me, to your Rabb. You recognize your Rabb. So bring your sins as many as you have. Let's see how many sins you have to your name. The heavens and the earth may fill with your sins. And even then you come back to me. Allah says, see how I forgive you. Ghafoor, you ask for forgiveness. All your sins forgiven. Forgiven. Then Allah says, don't think back about your sins, the past, like when you've sinned. You think back, inna Allah ghafoor. Ghafoor. Inna Allah ghafoor. Allah says, then next, what does Allah say? Subhanallah, rahma comes into force. Rahim. Rahim. So why is Allah Ta'ala attached this? That Allah, you've forgiven me. That was good enough that I'm free from Jahannam. You forgive me. All sins are forgiven. Now when you do tawbah, wallah billah, Allah's promise in the Quran, doesn't matter how many big sins you've done, 70 years you've sinned, 80 years you've done zina, stolen. Allah says, whoever's right you have consumed, you have to give the right back. Allah Ta'ala says, all forgiven. All forgiven. Forgiven. Subhanallah. Then Rahim. Allah says, after forgiving, yes, a man should be happy just on forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala then says, no, wait. Allah Ta'ala calls the angels. And brothers, Allah Ta'ala says to the angels, however many sins are in the records of this person, zina, sins, whatever he's done, wherever he's done, bring all his sins forward, Allah Ta'ala says. Bring all the sins. And all the sins, the mountains of sins, because they will collect higher, and the angels say, what's going on now? Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, However many sins this person has. And the angel says, is this it? Allah says, is this it? And they'll say, yes, Allah, these are all his sins. Allah Ta'ala says, he's done tawbah. I've forgiven him. I've given him a reward now for this amal. Wuzaim Rahim. Allah says, all of his sins, I will translate them into, transfer them to good deeds. SubhanAllah. So do you want to carry out this transaction today? Today in this masjid, Noor. And this masjid has become full of Noor ala Noor. SubhanAllah. Noor. This is the first transaction. The all sins that you have committed before today, you are leaving this masjid just like an angel, like an awliya Allah, friend of Allah. Every man will leave, alhamdulillah, from this majlis, you will take two rewards. This is the guarantee I'm giving you, inshallah, on the day of judgment, we'll speak. And this fakir's words, you will remember. Two things you are taking. However many people are sat here now, and whichever women, females are listening, and like Hazrat said, that many people away from me are listening, and totally this amal will happen with them as well, whoever listens to me and implements what I'm saying. When you will depart from this majlis of dhikr, then one reward you will attain is that totally you'll be forgiven. Top to toe. Top to toe. The stamp will have been applied to you that you are forgiven. SubhanAllah. Totally. This is hadith. You'll be forgiven. Every man who will believe here from this majlis of dhikr will be forgiven with tawbah. He will forgive. And the third reward, SubhanAllah, is what? After getting forgiveness, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. All sins will be purified from, forgiven. And the third inam, the third reward, that your heart will start to say, Allah, 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 Allah. And you will leave this gathering with qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. What a great transaction. What a bargain. That's why we have this majlis. This majlis allows a person to become Noor Anur. Shall we start then? Shall we? Okay, fine. Let's begin. First do tawbah. Okay, repentance. So everyone make niyyah for tawbah. That Allah Ta'ala, totally, we are sinful. Our lives are full of sin. I am the most sinful person on the face of the earth. And shaitan will say, no, you praise Allah. You're pious. No, totally think it's nonsense. And today I'm being forgiven. And this majlis came today for me. Make a niyyah intention in your heart. Allah, I do true tawbah. I want to repent truly, sincerely. Inshallah, the sins I've committed, inshallah, I will not touch those sins again. Just like your rahmah saved me today, then after, I will need your rahmah to save me. Sharia, I will live my life according to Sharia, your ways, Allah, your orders. And maybe I won't get another opportunity after today to do tawbah. Maybe my death will have come. And for example, we many medicines, we have them in our pockets, this pink, red, white. No. Those people who don't take medicines, maut will come to them and to those stigmas. What's the best preparation for maut is tawbah, repentance. So today, this is our preparation. We don't know about tomorrow, Allah. Today I will prepare that the person leaves with tawbah for him. No problems, all his sins have given. He'll have no pain, no pain. So Allah Ta'ala, I want to do tawbah in your huzoor, in salat. So we'll do tawbah in a gathering. And then after that, dhikr-e qalbi, I will tell you the method, inshallah. And every man will become a dhakir. Who's remembering Allah? Okay, then, so let's do tawbah first. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin وأتوب إليه آمين 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 سبحان الله. This is it. That's all there is to it. All forgiven, all sins, totally your record books clear, clean as a plate. So as I said, however greater is an action, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. Okay, you say, oh, that was too easy. Tell me, how many times have we done tawbah like this? How many times have we attended a majma gathering like this in my life? Give me one example. One example, the question doesn't arise. Look at this. Look at this. So Salah Azkaram, Alhamdulillah. Tell me, who got this tawfiq to sit in a gathering like this and ask for forgiveness from Allah? SubhanAllah. What is the style of forgiveness? Allah, even the angels will be ashamed. And shaitan will be ashamed. And the angels will be proud in such a country, in such an environment, in the place of sin. Allah, what's happened to these people? SubhanAllah. That their destiny has changed. That you have forgiven these people. You've forgiven them. We know this insan, he was like this, he was sinful. Allah said, no, I've forgiven this person. So what's this now? Subhanallah. And the third reward, I forgot to tell you, that we'll depart from this majlis, we'll leave with tawbah, repentance, with the dhikr of Allah, new education, with forgiveness, and fourth, listen, every man will leave this gathering as a wali of Allah. Every man will leave as a wali of Allah. So what is it that we need to do? Shukr of Allah. Grateful to Allah that we need to recite two, pray two rak'ah salah for shukr, for being grateful to Allah. Then it's like this, that our sheet is wiped clean. It's a beautiful opportunity. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. Pray two rak'ah salah nafil, and then spend 30 minutes in dua and ask whatever you want from Allah. There's no better opportunity than this. Whatever you want to ask for, ask for goodness in your life, hereafter, children, whatever you want to ask for, ask, because totally at this time your connection is made with Allah, strong, compact, robust. May Allah Ta'ala accept this majlis of ours. Now dhikr, listen, very easy way to do dhikr. What is the way of doing dhikr? Subhanallah. This is called dhikr qalbi, and this is called maraqaba, dhikr of the heart. Look in the kitabs, maraqaba, silent dhikr, dhikr qalbi, dhikr of the heart. So what we do here is that the tongue goes silent. There's no need to verbally do this dhikr, and the great kalamats go silent. Totally, we come into ism-e-zat, the personal name of Allah, Allah. What do? We don't recite any kalima. What do we recite? Allah, Allah, silently. Allah's name is so great. All kalimat emanate from Allah Ta'ala's name. All kalimat, everything has come from the name of Allah. Allah Ta'ala said that I have summarized it and made it compact into my name. And you do this dhikr on your heart, in your heart. Listen to this, and I'll give you ijazah to do this, and then we'll do this dhikr in a little while. What we do is that this is the tariqah, the method is you sit with ease, and you sit like this with ease, individually, when you do this dhikr. Now after sitting down, relax, and three times recite astaghfirullah, three times durood sharif. After reciting durood sharif, totally with ease, relax and concentrate on your heart. And your heart is on your left, and you can say slightly down here from here, just like you pay attention to your heart, and then you think after paying attention to your heart, as if my heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. That's it. Very easy to do. You have to practice this. Yes, you close your eyes and you focus towards your heart, and you sit with silence. You don't move your tongue. You pay attention to your heart, and just as if your heart with every beat from your tongue, no, but from the tongue of your heart, you say Allah, 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 Allah. No sound, your tongues are moving. And in the tongue of the heart, and you're thinking in your heart, Allah, Allah, Allah. That's what you have to do. Inshallah, as the more you practice this, the condition will befall you that your heart automatically will start to do the dhikr of Allah itself. Every moment you'll start to do dhikr of Allah. I give you all the permission to do this dhikr. Alhamdulillah, from today you should start to do this. And totally, this is such a dhikr that yourself, you'll see that your heart will get nur, light, and you will change for the better. And the more sin you did before, the more nur will come to you. Because sin spoil a person. So you have to try not to sin from your hands, from your tongue. After that you do this dhikr, subhanallah, then you'll become the friend of Allah. So what time do you do this dhikr? There are two times lazmi. You have to sit in isolation in the masjid at home. Two times, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 25 minutes. However long you can do this maraqbah with ease, close your eyes and sit down with this tariqah and do this dhikr. Okay. So in the heart, you just do the dhikr of Allah in your heart. Allah, 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 Allah. Even if you're feeling sleepy, dhikr. Even if you're snoring, dhikr of Allah is being done. Okay. Even if the whispering of shaitan thoughts are coming, though I was doing dhikr and I've reached to my shop and another fight, a quarrel, and here I've gone to this scene, I'll give you the cure for this. Then waswasa, when it comes, don't worry, don't shake, dhikr is being done. And the benefits coming to you, the thawab totally is coming to you, don't shake, don't wilt with shaitan. In every ibadah, he injects his poison. I'll give you the example, you're eating food, don't you eat food? You eat food, don't you? And for example, if you're speaking to somebody, you're smiling, and you're speaking, talking, whilst you're eating, the food's going in your body, and the blood and the vitamins are being produced. Then, you're still doing it. So this is the reward of Allah. This is Allah's name. So let the waswasa come, let shaitan pester you, but your task should continue, your work should continue without any hesitation. Subhanallah. So never leave dhikr for this reason. Oh, the thoughts are coming to my mind. Totally first class thawab. Rather, the pious preachers have said you're getting double reward. The shaitan's fighting with you and you're doing dhikr of Allah. And you're opposing him. And that's it. That's all there is to it. Easy. Simple. And even if you don't have wudu, you can do dhikr without wudu. Yes, alhamdulillah. 2 times a day, definitely you have to do dhikr of Allah. Apportioned times. And walking, talking, traveling. Every moment you should be paying attention to your Allah, 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 Allah. And you should assign your heart to the dhikr of Allah. And you should do so much practice, alhamdulillah. Even if you don't want to or you're not thinking, but your heart will be doing the dhikr of Allah and you will feel it. Very powerful action. Close your eyes. This is called maraqabah. Focus on the heart. Pay attention to the heart. With every beat of the heart. Allah, 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 Allah. This is called maraqabah. In the masjid, you can do this 3 minutes left for salah. Close your eyes. Do maraqabah. Why? Don't have to take the tasbih. Because there's no need for the tasbih, alhamdulillah. Because tasbih is once. But with the heart, 70 times more reward. How many times more? 70 times more. So then why are we going for the lesser reward? Why are you going for less profit and more effort? More effort and energy? Easy. Do maraqbah. Close your eyes. Focus on the heart. In 3 minutes, alhamdulillah, you will make Jannah for yourself from the fadl of Allah. Jannah will be made an accepted deed. 2 minutes is enough. 1 minute accepted is so much. And don't waste this opportunity. That's it. Every moment, consider yourself as a dhakar and do the dhikr. Will you do this, my brothers? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, very easy to implement. Now let's do dhikr for a little while, and then after that we'll do dua.